Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
The word righteousness appears 92 times in the New Testament, 36 times in the book of Romans alone. The word righteous is used 81 times. The extensive use of the term ought to give us some insight into the importance of righteousness in the scheme of human redemption. The word means right living or right doing. Originally, the word was pronounced right wiseness. The Apostle Paul used the term to inform us about our Heavenly Father. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall I say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? Romans 3:5. The word righteousness in that context is equivalent to God's faithfulness or truthfulness. God alone is completely righteous. But we can become righteous in His sight by obeying the gospel and living by the will of God. Paul told the Corinthians, "But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." 1 Corinthians 1:30. When Paul argues that Christ is made unto us righteousness, does he mean that what Christ has done for us has made us righteous even if we do not obey the Lord? In other words, are we righteous just because of what Christ has done for us, or do we have some responsibility for being righteous? If Christ's righteousness is counted for our righteousness, will not every person on earth be righteous, since God is no respecter of persons? Acts 10:34-35. If Christ has already done it all, as some Calvinists teach, why do Bible writers use the word do so often in connection with our being righteous? For example, the Apostle John wrote, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He who does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." 1 John 3:7. We are deceived if we believe we do not have to obey the gospel and live by its precepts to be righteous. Most Bible students recognize Hebrews 11 as the greatest Bible chapter on faith. Although it does not define faith, it provides insight into how faith behaves. The inspired author of this great chapter gives us a list of the great heroes of faith. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks." Hebrews 11:4. No Bible believer would ever deny the place of faith in our relationship to God. But was the faith of Abel the faith-only variety? Did he just have to believe, or did he have to obey God? We must not overlook the active verb in this verse. By faith, Abel offered. Had he failed to offer the sacrifice God demanded, would he still have obtained witness from God that he was righteous? Cain did not offer an acceptable sacrifice, so he did not obtain witness from God that he was righteous. Why was Cain's offering rejected? He did not offer it by faith, that is, in accord with the divine command. Since Abel still speaks, what is the message he delivers to us? It is so simple no one ought to miss it, and that is, faith must lead us to obey the Lord's commands, or our faith is dead. Can dead faith save us? Hebrews 11 provides an inspired answer to that question. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and many others tell modern men of the necessity of an obedient faith. When the author of Hebrews had given a list of those who live by faith, he said he would like to tell of others, but time would not allow him to do so. He then provided a summary of the faith and obedience of many others. The great servants of God, by faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Hebrews 11:3. Is it significant that the word translated wrought means work, as opposed to inactivity? Thank you for listening today, and may God bless you.